You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, looking for thee to deal with our heads and our hearts. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, I would like to lead into it. If you would just think of Israel, Israel had a unique, was called by God, for God, to have a wonderful, unique relationship to God, so that all the world would be able to have a visible expression of the infinite God by way of the nation Israel, so that all the nations of the world could pay attention to God's awesome person. And thus Israel was to be exercised and educated to have a wonderful experience of God. And he did that. You had to start with Israel in order to show the nations. And therefore Israel was surrounded, here's the tabernacle, and all 12 tribes surrounded the tabernacle. They were to be holy because he is holy. They are to be clean because he is clean. They are to be pure because he is pure. God would provide his wonderful person in a unique relationship. They had to be educated for that. That's why, remember, how they dressed, what they ate, how they did their sacrifices, everything about their life was to be well ordered. So there was no question that Israel had to stay on a daily basis, had to pay attention. And thus they would learn by being educated, that God is distinctly different and you can't come in on a human way to enjoy God as a human. You can only enjoy God as God, not as a human. So now, they learned that. And thus they served him in a most wonderful way. They were to serve his wonderful purpose and plan. Now, in the light of that, if you would, here's Israel. And they didn't do well at all. They mixed it all up with idolatry and everything else, pride and everything. And they didn't enjoy, and they were not a good testimony to the nations of the world, which we shared once, which is why Muslim, Muhammad, any of them could rise up in the 600s. A.D. Why? Because the Jewish testimony was down, none. The church testimony was down. So the light needed for the darkness was too dull and dim and not even exist in some places. So the world can produce idolatry quite freely. Thus, John chapter 17. In John 17, our Lord Jesus Christ, who Israel was to point to, has a wonderful relationship to God. Our Lord does. Now, and that relationship is unique. In order for us to represent God, we have to have a unique relationship. We aren't going to have one like Israel. No. We're going to have one like the Lord, because we represent the Lord in a particular way, which we'll see in a moment again. John chapter 17, going, if I may, to verse 21. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So God the Son, in his perfect humanity, dealing with the Father, God the Father, and we are, in his prayer, he's giving us an assignment. As he was in the world, so we are. And he sends us to represent him, not us, him, in order that the Son, being displayed, S-O-N, the world will see the Son resurrected from the grave and would get saved and look to God. How? By way of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only way and the truth to God. Now, John chapter 17, the assignment. That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That purpose, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So that they may be one, Father, as the Father, God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, have a unique unity, essence, nature, being, a unique oneness. To say the very least, the Lord our God is one God. That's right. Wow. And we're to be able to go and show this oneness. Verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete, in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. Verse now, and God, you're going to provide, I am, verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, the reason, that, in order that they may be one, even as we are one. So, God, what have you done? We aren't Israel, and God has made the church a wonderful, having a unique, awesome, wonderful relationship to God. And just as he does. Now that's that when you get saved, that's what should happen. You ought to understand, God takes me out from outside to inside to a unique his saving grace to make me know him as Lord and Savior, to receive him into my heart. Now, over to John 12. John chapter 12. So, we ought to have this wonderful consciousness of God. Israel was to have it, and they had all these different things they did every day, more or less, to be mindful and to be educated in order to experience the truth, the wonderful truth of it all. So now, God, here we are, and remember the context, the Greeks, the Gentiles wanted to see Jesus. Peter and Andrew went and took him to Jesus, and Jesus gave the only thing. Verse 23 again, Jesus answered, say unto them, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be crucified. And he's going to give them three illustrations, 24, 25, 26, of that relationship. You're going to have it. You can't have any benefit of who I am to know me, to understand the benefit, blessings, bliss. You can't have that unless you know. Come, I'm going to follow me. Verse 36, follow me. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm telling you where you're going to have to find me and meet me and know God on Calvary's cross. That's where you're going to have to go. Therefore, we read, if any man, remember two questions or conditions, if any man serve me, let him follow me. You want to remember serve, waiting on the table, giving attendance, the word deacon, waiting on the table, giving attendance, care, standing there, as we shared last time. Think of those restaurants like we shared with the waiter, standing there, watching your table, waiting for to see anything, to sense anything you need, and to come and assist you in whatever you need. Now, that's an awesome thing. God, that's what you want. If any man's going to serve you, we've got to follow you. And follow you where? All the way to the cross. Where I am, there shall my servant be. My servant's going to be with me. I'm going to be with them. If, second condition, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So, if anyone is waiting on me, where I am, my Father is going to honor me. My Father honors me. My Father will honor you. And we shared all that a little bit together. Now, having said that, then I want to go, if I can, and give you a window. I want you to be able to go, just think of looking out and giving you a pictorial view. I'm going to give you, it's not a good illustration, but if I could take you in my little spaceship out there in space, and I could have you would just go all around the world. So you'd look down and see this ball in the middle of space, and you would see it, and you would see it as a wonder, in a whole way you've never seen it before. God, and that's our world. Most people living on planet Earth have no idea of that window, because we're here. We walk from here to there, we drive from here to there, we look at the sky, we look at the trees, look at the city, that's somewhere we're at. But actually, it's a big, big, wonderful place we're on, planet Earth. Now, and thus, to have a wonderful relationship, a relationship to the living and only God, it need to be conscious of it. You need to have a commitment to it. You need to understand it so that you have a commitment. Now, just think if you is in the military, not everywhere, but many times, military, there's a wonderful commitment to each other, especially on the battlefield. A wonderful commitment. It's a team, it's a unit. And you risk your life and I'm right behind you, right with you. Wow. On a sports team, a real one. You can't be hit and miss. You're going to be in the sports team, you roll up your sleeves, and you're going to go, and boom, you're going to play on a team. And you'll give your whole life off duty, a home, but you're always doing, thinking, the sports team. That's a commitment, a wonderful commitment. And military, they have a commitment. Believers need to have a commitment. When you go to work at a given company, use your imagination, and the company wants you to have a commitment to show up on time, to do the job, to do all the stuff. It's a commitment. And they're all limited. When it comes to God, we aren't talking about the military, we aren't talking about sports, we aren't talking about work and jobs, or some education to learn, commitment. We're talking about God. So, God, we're going to move all of that commitment, all of the consciousness of things in our life, and a commitment to them, we're going to move it to you. Now, so in doing that, we're going to look at this big ball, and I just want you to see, God has made it universal. When He gave the New Testament, He did it in such a way that's all about a relationship. It's all about a relationship to who He is. That's what it's all about. Now watch. Over, if you would, please. And you know, in John, as the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we go and receive the Lord as our Savior, John 1:12, we become children of God. We invite, we receive into our heart, Revelation 3:20 and everything, receive it into our heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You receive it into your heart. That's right. And we receive God, a unique relationship. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Everything's become new. And God is going to give, like he did in Matthew 28:28-20. Lo, he's going to say as he's giving them this church the assignment, baptize him, going in all, whoever you are, being a testimony, and wherever you are, and lo, L-O, I am with you always. Wherever you are, I'm going to be. Where my servant is, I am. Where I am, my servant is, who serves me. Now, the exercise. Over to Ephesians. And I trust it will be helpful. You're going to have a little exercise, and we're flying around the world. We're looking at the big picture. God, what have you said 17,000 different ways to help us understand? Ephesians chapter 1, if I may. Ephesians 1 and verse 6. We are to be to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored in the beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wow. So the glory of his grace, the riches of his grace, all of it is for what? That we should be, verse 12, to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So we're to be have such a relationship to God of that it is all by grace, and it is a wonderful relationship. Having been forgiven, having been made a new creature in Christ, and being highly favored, not outside but inside, God, you favor us. That's right. Now, in the light, that little context we need in order to go, if I can, to verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, working of his mighty power. And God is going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, God, what are you going to do to favor us and to provide this kind of dynamic power? What are you going to do? Verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, the Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead with all of its power, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He's the head. It's a gift to the church. And now what is the church? Which is, verse 23, which is his body, the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So God, here we are, and you've done something wonderful. So when we come to know you as our Lord and Savior, we're going to understand that Jesus Christ is the head. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. We're to understand that we have a unique relationship as a body. Think of the systems of your body and how they all harmonize. They all interact. They all serve wonderful, wonderful purpose. Everything in your body answers to the head. It doesn't answer to each other. It answers to each other, pancreas to the spleen to the liver and all of that. All of that interacts harmoniously. In light of the head, every believer is related to the head. So when I receive Christ as my personal Savior, I receive the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I receive God Almighty. When I receive God Almighty, I, the believing heart, is personally identified with the living and only God. Directly, not indirect, direct shot. Christ, you are claiming this body for yourself. You are claiming, that's right. Now, I need to understand that because you're the head of all of the body, which is the church. And you are the fullness that makes the body life, have eternal life. And eternal life is the expression of your fullness. So when you fill us with life, the life comes back and reflects the head. How so? See my hand move? My hand move. My foot moves. My mouth moves. My body is reflecting the head. The body reflects in its life the head. Each part of the body is connected to the head. Now that's your head, that's your body. And I know most of you are not too eager to get rid of your body. And you say your body has this problem and that problem. Well, it may have it, but you aren't ready to get rid of it yet. You aren't ready to get rid of your body yet to say, I'm going to come and take your body. You know, you aren't ready to do that. So now, so here's all this wonderful fullness. Now, in the light and the body, sliding over, if you would, please. If you would, picking up in thought, on our way there, just to show you the, as we're rolling along, Ephesians 2:6, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This relationship, we're already there in Christ. Even though we're here, we're already there. And the purpose of it, verse 7, the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So God, here we are, we're here, but we're there. We already have this unique relationship. We're there, but we're here. That's correct, if you would. Now, in chapter 4. In chapter 4, you are reminded, why are we sitting here? We aren't sitting here for the fun of it. We're sitting here for a purpose. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. It isn't a club. It isn't an organization. It isn't that kind of thing where you come and have a little meeting. It isn't that. It isn't what it's for. It's a unique relationship to God that is to be educated, experienced, expressed, enjoyed. And you have to understand it's part of a body. You aren't sitting home out there in the middle of nowhere. That, how do you understand the body out there? I could, using a silly illustration, I could take something. Here's your spine. Here's your spine. I'm going to take your spine and put it out here. Now, is the spine able to participate? No, it can't be done. Don't tell me it can't be done. It doesn't mean you aren't a believer. It just means you can't enjoy being in the body, because how could you? The parts belong in the body. And thus, chapter 4, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. That's what it's for, to build up that body. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. And you read the whole thing. It's all the pieces working together. That's how it is. So are you going to say or not, what does it mean to be a believer? Oh, it's not so much fun. I'm a believer as opposed to communist, Catholic, and cultist. Isn't that good? I'm a believer. Do you enjoy being a believer? No, I do it though. You don't enjoy it because you aren't part of the body. The body has to function. The spine has to have all of the activity of the body, the nervous system and everything. in order to enjoy the body. You're trying to do something apart from what Christ said had to be done in order to grow and to develop. It's His plan. It's His way. The body. Body. Not a piece. A body. And people don't understand. It isn't a thing. It just, well, we don't. Listen, we are obligated to exercise the wonderful person and presence of Jesus Christ. And we represent the local body of believers. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's the relationship. It's a oneness, a wonderful oneness. It can't be had any other way. And you ever never enjoy. I don't care who you are or what you are. It's never going to happen. You've got to be part of an active body in order, physically. All the parts of your body are active. They're in the body and they enjoy functioning. Now, chapter 5. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word when he presents it to himself, verse 27. Slide down to verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now God says it over and over and over again. Do you understand? You have a unique relationship. Now, say, well, you don't understand, unless you're something special. You don't understand that all the parts of your body are functioning at the moment. Aren't they? Most of you? You don't feel one of them, and until I brought it up, you didn't even think about it. But you don't feel it, but boy, do you count on it and enjoy it. And if something happens inside and your appendix burst, it says, take care of me, doesn't it? It's your body. You say, well, I don't feel. It isn't a question of feeling, it's understanding. You live inside your body. When's the last time you understood that, thought about it? That's all you are. You live inside this body. We can cut off the hands and the legs, and you're still there until you die, and then they look for you, and what? They can't find you, so they pronounce you what? Dead. Because they can't find you. That's right, you're gone. All of those things are not based on our feeling and our wonderful exercise of experience. They're just true, and we live in them. And we thank God for them when you think about it. You don't want to change any of it. Well, God, you save us and give us, I receive you as my Savior, and I enter into a unique relationship to you that I have to understand. Not by my, I can't feel it and look up at the sky. I got to look into your word. What kind of relationship is it? Do you know I have all these different medical anatomy books and stuff? I got all that stuff. I get books of the 12 systems and all that. And you got all those things. And I pull on. Doctors have given me their surgical books on knee replacement and everything else. You know. So I have it in case I have my knee replaced. I'll be able to tell them what to do. No. You have to read the books. Do you know all about the inside of your bones and muscles? No, without reading and studying, you couldn't possibly know. But do you have them? Don't you have them? Sure you do. But you'd have to read and study about them because you couldn't possibly know it and believe it. Wow. Now God, we are members of your body, flesh of your flesh and of your bones. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to 1 Corinthians. And you know that local church, any local church, believing church, believers, banded together representing our Lord Jesus Christ. And chapter 3 and verse 16, Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him will God defile, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So if you're a believer, I am. Then be a believer. Then be one. That's all. But I don't feel that I have my... Oh, you make a choice. Just like John 12, 24, the seed must fall into the ground and die. 12, 25, you can't hug and hold your life like this. You got to let it go so you can go forward. If you're hugging and holding it, you're staying here instead of free to go forward. If you love your life, you have to lose it. You can't have both. You can't have your cake and eat it. You can't serve me unless you follow me. Do you understand where I am? Well, you can't do it. It isn't going to happen. And we shared together last time, all of God's wonderful everything serves. The Spirit of God serves the Son serves the Father, and the body serves all of them. Everything is in all the animal life, vegetable life, mineral life, all of it is to serve. Wow. Now, over to chapter 6, as you know, quickly. And in verse 20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now God took them. If you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God took that body, took you in the body. He saved you. That's right. It's a body, a wonderful, wonderful exercise of being in the body. Chapter 12. In chapter 12, all about the body. If we won't have the time, but if we just did it, what are you going to do? The body, the body, the body, the body, the body. What about the world? No, it's about the body. It isn't about reaching out or some program or something. It's about a personal relationship to God, book after book. To have it and not lose it. And since it is true, and a real God, and a real relationship. Do you know when Israel was with it? Did they know? Well, just think of the studies on Joshua and them. Joshua had the sun stand still. They won 600,000 men and didn't lose any of them in battle after battle. That's amazing. Don't you think they'd be impressed with God? Don't you think it would be something to be an Israelite? If I was a Philistine, I'd say, boy, you guys got it made. If I was unsaved, I would say to the believing, healthy believer, you guys got it made. And you bet we do. But we don't appreciate it. We don't understand it because we're trying to make it fit into our little world, and it doesn't fit in the world. God has condemned the world. He leaves you in it for a wonderful expression of who He is before He ultimately condemns it. Thus, 1 Corinthians 12, if I can, and in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized, placed into, immersed into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. All one. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. And therefore you go to the foot, tells you all the different parts of the body. But when you're all done in the different parts of the body, verse 18, I'll read verse 17. If the whole body were, 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Where the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. So God, you created wonderfully, Psalm 139, this wonderful body with all of its different parts and the appendix and all of that. There's nothing in there wasted. Everything in your body, the natural normal system, is an awesome thing. It all has super duper superb functions. We haven't even discovered them all. We're learning them, even in our day. Wow. The marvelous body, producing everything in its intricacy blows you. I don't know, if I had to be a doctor or something, I said, man, wow. God, you put us in the body. When you get saved, I'm up here because no one else was up here. You know, that's why I'm here. But hey, I'm just part of the body like you guys. And God puts you in the body as it what? Pleases Him. Aren't you glad for every part? Do you know, back to your body, physical? I have one of my wisdom teeth. I have all four of them. Doesn't do any good, so be of good cheer. I have it. Now, that's just a little tooth. Can't even get at it very good. Wow. Am I glad for that tooth being in my body? I am. Are all my other teeth glad for the wisdom that's over there? They're glad. I'm glad to be put in the body, in your physical body. Any part in your physical body is wonderfully, wonderfully placed. True? From your fingernails to every part of your body. It's wonderfully positioned, isn't it? And you don't want to be without any of it, unless you have to. When God saves you, He puts you in His body. And you may not be able to be in the pulpit. You don't need to be. You just need to be in the body and stay healthy and function. It's an awesome thing to be in the body. It's a wonderful thing. But when we step in to God's wonderful presence physically, we're just going to be there. We're just going to be there. Just to be there. Just to be there. Oodles of people never are going to be there. But you're going to be there. Wow. The body. Uh-huh. And God, you put us in the body. I'm glad to be saved. You say, well, I'm not. I want some assignment. You have an assignment to be a part in the body that's healthy. In the will of God. Think of 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Do you remember God? I'll think of all the things God said. What do I do? Rejoice in what? Rejoice in the Lord what? Always. And that's a command in the present tense. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ. That's a command. Present tense. No, say, what do I do? That's your assignment. To count it all joy when you fall into various whatever. You're representing God in the darkness, dullness, deadness of the world around you, even though it's all perky and doing whatever it's doing. So God, the Spirit of God does that. That's an awesome thing to get saved. And to sit there and say, well, I'm not, then whatever. That's the flesh. That's a stupid flesh, pride. And you fail to do it, because I'm not there. Well, I don't have to do what he does. Baloney. You have to do the same thing I do. I'm in a body, and you're in a body. Same head, same Christ, same Lord, same love. I'm in a body. You have to do what I do. You don't like what I have to do what I do, because I have an assignment. I'm in a body. You're in the body, and you have an assignment, a commitment to the body, to the Christ. And without it, you won't enjoy anything. You can come and go, a little hit and miss, when you get time to come to church, when you're late. All the people come in late, never come in. There's a commitment. And that's an awesome thing. But you've got to have a sense of it. If any man serve me, he will follow me. That where I am, my servant will be. And God, that's an awesome thing to be there, to have this. And God, and, oh, verse 20, all kinds of things. Verse 27. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. And the word particular means in part. We're part of the parts, to say it easy. We aren't the whole thing. We're part of the parts, individually. We're, all of us are there, different parts of the body, all into working as one, in the light of God's wonderful oneness, so that we can what? Where He is, we is. God, we've got it. That's right. Wow. In particular. Over if you would, please. Romans. We didn't get very far, and whatever. We could turn every page and be there for another hour. How's that? Well, it's all about, well, I'm telling you, it's the same thing over and over and over again. And God, that's what God's interested in. You want to know what God's interested in for your life? To know Him. To be part of the body. To be part of the body. It isn't a club, etc. It isn't that. And people think it's that. No, it isn't. Yo, you leave marriage, son, daughter, whatever. You leave to get saved. And the saved person meets as a believer, first and foremost, as believer with believers in the body. And that's what they do. And I say, well, what about, you have work? Sure, you have work. You have marriage. You have kids. And you have a car you got to take care of. The lawn you have to mow. You got all the stuff. Sure you do. No question. But first and foremost, I'm a believer. And I answer to Almighty God, who's my ever-present help. Hope. All the time, God. Where I am, You is. My servant is there. That's what it's about. Well, no, I'm not that. Then be whatever. But you aren't going to enjoy the privilege. Just chapter 8, for we know that all things, verse 28, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, what on earth is that? Why? What's everything? A good job, a good this, a good feeling, a good meal, a good, all of those things are nice, but that isn't what it's about. The primary point, verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to mark out ahead of time, to be conformed, to be made like unto the image of the Son. So when God, You created us in Your image and likeness. So when you look at us created creatures, you see yourself. And Jesus Christ is the perfect man. When you looked at Jesus Christ, did God in His wonderful holy fullness see Himself? Did God find Himself in Christ? Absolutely. That's what it's about. To receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. God wants to see. God, here I am. Wow. Now, so all things work together for good to be conformed to the image of His Son. And in the light of that, and while you're thinking of that, we don't have to turn there, 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to be changed in a what? As fast as an atom splits. That's fast. You're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye to be like Him. That's what we're sitting. God, I got it. I got it. I'm part of Your body. So when I get there, I'm going to be forever part of Your body. I'm part of Your body now. That's right. We're gathered together as a local assembly, the local body of believers gathered together to exercise Your wonderful, our relationship. And the world doesn't care. Other people don't care. It doesn't matter. God, here we are. And we enjoy it. It's our privilege. Wow. To know and to honor you, God, in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, Romans in chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, you know, in the light of all of the context ahead of it, the doctrine, Israel, and now chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, yield your bodies, a living sacrifice, because that you bought them with a price, they belong to you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one. No, I want you to be fully alive, fully with it. So whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, for you serve the Lord Christ. That's right, with your whole heart. Uh-huh. Living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How so? By the renewing of your mind. That's why we're having to read and understand. The doctor has to read, the chiropractor has to read, they have to study and take apart the bodies and cadavers and everything. You've got to do that to learn the body. Well, the body, our God, how are we going to learn? We're going to read. You tell us about it. That's all we're doing. Page after page, you're telling us about the body. And therefore, we conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What for? That you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, so that we can enjoy a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God Almighty all the days of our life. And thus, God, we're here now, 2 Corinthians 5, here now, later we're going to be with you. But right now, we're here with you, later, you're going to be there, you're there, and you're going to be there with us. So, it's a wonderful thing, God, that you do. Over in closing, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, may I pick up, please, Abraham example for us. Chapter 4, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body... Body, physical, now dead, 100 years of that, and dead, it's incapable of anything except breathing, when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, it was all nothing, God, but you know he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory unto God. Wow. And thus we're going to say, thus God, you're dead. And God, you waited till Abraham couldn't do anything in and of himself so that you'd get all the glory. That Abraham could never say, well, we just had it like we had Ishmael. No. The only way you're going to have the wonderful grace of God is by God, by reckoning yourself dead, Romans 6:11. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. And God... And we're going to say, we don't have to turn there in Romans 7 and that. Paul's going to say, in the education, for the experience, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Ah, God, here it is, fearfully, wonderfully made. And God, I belong to you. I belong to your body. This is my body, but I belong to your body. Wonderfully so. Wherever you are, I am. Therefore, God, what? Therefore, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go. You're going to serve me. As my Father sent me, so send I you. I want you to go and represent me. I don't need any of your skill. I don't need your wisdom. I don't need your stupidity. I don't need your stubbornness. I just need you to count it all dead. By that I mean, don't trust it. Don't lean on it. Don't hold it tight. Trust me with all your heart. It's a wonderful thing, God, that you have saved little old us to be part of such a thing. And it has nothing to do with my intellect, anything. It has everything to do with you. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Our Father and God, thank you for your kindness and patience with us, with me. God, help us. Help us, God. It's such an awesome, wonderful God. That's why we don't even deal with it. Don't talk about it and don't want it. Because it's so awesomely, awesomely real, awesomely right. A relationship that you intend to have, if not now, later, and God were to be the immediate beneficiaries of all that you've made possible. We have received power that we might be your witnesses, that we might witness the unique truths that we even just looked at for a moment of our unique relationship to you. And God, the world, darkness, deadness can never explain life, never understand. God, we need to exercise it for our understanding. We need to exercise it for our experience. We need to exercise it for our education. God, Spirit of God, take and do with us. And those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them of the wonderment of what you would do with a boy, a girl, a man, a woman that would believe in their heart and receive you as their Savior. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could sing a stanza, if you would, in your hymnal.